We open up our Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. The text for this morning is from the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4a. Draw me, we will run after thee. Next Lord's Day, the Lord willing, the bridegroom will spread a table in our midst, and he will call and invite his bride to meet with him there. And perhaps the question that is in your soul when you look to that day is, how can I come to the table? Well, may this be the petition of your heart. Draw me. We will run after thee. Our theme this morning is the bride's cry to be drawn. The bride's cry to be drawn. First, the problem. Second, the petition. And thirdly, the prospect. The bride's cry to be drawn. First, the problem. Second, the petition. Thirdly, the prospect. In this book which we have before us today, we hear the singing of a song. A song. Now this song is not just any song. You know that there are many songs recorded on the pages of Holy Scripture. There are songs by Moses, Miriam, Hannah, David. Precious songs they are. But this song is the Song of Songs. It is the most excellent song. Why? Well, because it is the song that portrays the wondrous love between the bridegroom and the bride, between Christ and His people. You know, some speak about this book as a song about human love. They speak of this book as a song that celebrates the love between a man and a wife, a mere man and a mere woman. But if that was the case, would this song be called the Song of Songs? Singing of the love of loves? Praising the King of Kings? Or if you received a book, and that book had these words in it, the King of Kings, who would you think of? You would think immediately of Christ. If you received a book that talked about the Lord of Lords, who would you think of? You would think of Christ. And if you heard about the love of loves, who would you think of? You would think of the love between Christ and His church. And if you were to hear of the Song of Songs, who do you think that song would be about? It would be the song, of course, of Christ and His people. In other words, this is the song of a bride and a bridegroom. And the bridegroom is the heavenly bridegroom. And that means that there is a marriage. And that means that there is also a marriage certificate. And that marriage certificate speaks of love. And in fact, that's the theme of this book, love. The opening verse tells us that thy love is better than wine. You know, really, this book begins without any introduction. It begins very abruptly. And we begin to hear the desires of the bride, and we begin to hear of the beauty and the glory of the bridegroom, His Excellency. It says, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And you sense immediately, don't you, that the bride prizes the bridegroom. Do you prize the bridegroom? Do you have him in high regard? Do you love him? Dear child of God. But when we come to our text, and we are not very far in this song, we discover that there is a problem. And God's people know that on this side of the grave, there is a problem. And that produces a daily need, and that produces a daily cry, if it is right. Draw me, we will run after thee. What is the problem? There is a distance between the bride and the bridegroom. The bride is apart from Christ. And is that not your greatest grief, dear child of God, that you are not as near to Christ as you would be and as you want to be? There is a distance between you and the Lord. And there are times, especially when you feel that you do not sense the nearness of the Lord. And you find yourself cold. And you find yourself backslidden, drawn away. And there are times even when you don't even have a desire to pray. There are times when you have to drag yourself to your prayer closet and you have no warmth in your heart for the Lord. And, you've known different times. You've known the fellowship of an intimate communion with this Christ. You've known the warmth of His love, but now you miss Him. And you ask, where is the love which once I knew? Where is the bridegroom who gives this love? Where is Him whom my heart has come to love? And that's the picture before us. The picture before us is of a bride and her husband being apart from one another. The husband may have been apart for some time already. So it is with the child of God. You long for him, but he is at a distance. So the bride prays, draw me. We will run after thee. But why does she need to be drawn? Why can't she just go back to the Lord? Why can't she just return to the Lord? Why does she need Christ to draw her? Why is it, dear child of God, that you need to be brought back to the Lord? Why can't you just go to Him? After all, He is your bridegroom. After all, He is the one whom you have been married to. After all, you have come to love Him. He is your beloved. And so if you ask a child of God this question, why is this your petition? Draw me, then there may be different answers. And the one child of God may have a different answer than the other. And at different times the answer may be different. And so the one child of God may say, well, this is my petition, draw me, because I don't know where to find Him. I can't find Him. As the Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 1 tells us, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. In other words, I call Him, but there is no answer. I seek, but I do not find. As chapter 5 verse 6, I sought Him, but I could not find Him. I called Him, but He gave me no answer. And that's your complaint. I've lost Him. And I'm like a sheep, which when it is lost, cannot find its way back to the shepherd. That's my case. I seek for Him. Perhaps I go to the closet, but He is not there. Oh, I go to the places where I have found Him before, but I cannot find Him. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. Sometimes I may hear His voice off in the distance, but that's all. I'm brought no closer to Him. I'm brought to no closer to knowing His presence and His communion. Or another child of God may say, I find it so dark. It's night to me. And you know, boys and girls, that when you have to go somewhere and it's dark, it's night and the lights are out, and it's not so easy to find your way, then you don't know where to go. And you can't find the way, and that may be the case for the child of God. Cannot find his way back to the bridegroom. The lights are gone out. It is darkness, only darkness. And that may be that you are in the midst of affliction, and you don't see your way clear anymore. You're in the midst of trial, and you're being pulled down, and there are dark clouds that have lowered over you, and you can't see it anymore, and you don't know it anymore. Or perhaps you are troubled by your sin, and you don't see the mercy of the Lord, even though there is abundant mercy with Him. And maybe you say, I don't taste His love anymore. I have sinned His love all away. I've despised His goodness towards me. And you say with the psalmist, when gloom and sorrow compass me, you cannot find Him in the night. But there's another reason why the child of God cannot just go back to the Lord. You hear that in the text, don't you? You hear that in the voice of the bride. She says, draw me. We will run after thee. In other words, she is unable to move to the Lord. She is immobile. She cannot move. She cannot come. She tries, maybe, but all she finds is stiffness in her bones. She finds herself slow to respond. She cannot move an inch toward the Lord. And you feel this at times, don't you? Sloth. Dullness. You find yourself unable to come to Him. You are able to slide back. That's true. You're able to slide further and further away from the Lord. That's true. But you cannot come one step to Christ. As that one young man said to his minister, with grief in his heart, I cannot come to Christ. That is where I need to be, but I cannot come. Have you ever found this? I cannot move. Oh, this dreadful immobility. And that has led you to cry, draw me. We will run after thee. Oh, sometimes it can be that you listen to the word of God preached. And you find yourself under the preaching of the word, and you find yourself cherishing that word preached. And you enjoy hearing His word. But somehow you can stay content apart from Him. You can stay content without going to see Him, without seeing His face, without knowing His nearness. And so you see there is a need. And this is a great need of the bride. The bride needs the bridegroom. and she needs him greater than she knows. You know, there are many today who, when they get married, and after some years of marriage perhaps, they're not interested in their groom anymore. The bride doesn't love her groom anymore. Oh, she doesn't mind the groom giving her some gifts, taking her on trips, doing this, giving that. But she really doesn't care to be in the presence of the bridegroom. But that's not the case with the bride of Christ. Oh, there are times when she isn't in such a backslidden condition, that's true. But she knows that she does not simply need the gifts of Christ. She needs the presence of Christ, the nearness of Christ. I need Him to bring me to Himself. I cannot draw myself. But if I am not brought to Christ, then I have to question the marriage certificate. Let's look secondly at the petition. Draw me. Draw me. And when you hear that petition, it's one thing that strikes you immediately upon hearing it. It's this. It is a very short prayer. In the Hebrew, it is only one word. But though it is a short prayer, surely it is plain, isn't it? What is it that the bride wants? When she raises this petition to Christ, she wants the distance which is between her and Christ overcome. She wanted bridged so that she is not separated from Him any longer. She wants the impossibility and the immobility taken away. So she prays, bring me, make me come to Thee, draw me. Now this word draw is the word that is also used with Joseph. You know, don't you boys and girls, that Joseph, he was thrown into a pit. When the Midianites passed by, then the brothers, they drew him out of the pit. And that's the word that is used also here. And the word is also a word that is related to the word for a cord. You know what a cord is. And you know that it was with a cord that the brothers of Joseph drew Joseph out of the pit. There from the pit where he was, which was full of impossibility and immobility, he could not come out himself, no matter what he struggled, no matter what he did. He could not come out unless they drew him out. Draw me. That is the prayer of the bride. Do you know this petition? Is this petition found in your heart? Draw me. Me. This is a prayer. He prays for himself. He doesn't pray this for others in the first instance. He does not pray, draw us. You see, he has his own need. And it's a personal need. And it's an immediate need. He is in need of drawing power. It's the bride who says, I am the one missing thee. I am the one longing for thee. Draw me to thee. Draw me. The bride doesn't pray, teach me. Well, true, that is also the prayer of God's children. And how they need to be taught by Christ, their bridegroom. Now they need the truth impressed upon their hearts. But we can see that the bride has learned something already. She, with what she has learned, she goes to the Lord. And now she does not need to be taught immediately. She needs His presence. She wants to know His nearness, His communion. And so the bride does not pray right now for teaching, but for drawing, because she wants to be near the groom. Draw me. And nor is this prayer, guide me. Do God's people not need guidance? Yes, they do. And the Lord has also promised to give His children guidance. I will guide you with mine eye. I will guide you into all truth. That's what Christ told His disciples. But in this case, the bride is not praying, Lord, guide me. She is not praying, Lord, show me the way. For then you were to ask for a guide. And what does a guide do? Well, a guide, he points out the way that you have to go. this way and then that way. He sets out the direction that you are to take. But the bride doesn't simply need to be shown the way. Remember, she is immobile. She is unable to come. She is unable to move one step. And so just some help will not do. Some guidings in the way, some showing of the way will not do. She needs Christ to exert power over her. Strength showing His power and drawing love. So that the bride comes to the bridegroom. As Jesus has said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That is what the bride needs, the drawing love. And so she prays not for guidance, not for teaching, but for drawing. That's the prayer of the bride. That's her longing. That's her petition. It's her petition because it is her deepest desire. It's the burden of her heart to be near to the bridegroom. Is this also your petition? Is this also your prayer? Is this the prayer on your heart when you wake up in the morning? And you know that it is more important to see the face of Christ first than to see the face of anyone else. Is this the prayer that you raise to the Lord throughout the day? Is this the prayer that you pray on the Lord's day as you go up to the house of the Lord? Is this the prayer that you pray throughout the middle of the week? That it is your deep desire to be drawn to the Lord. Oh, I know sometimes you can be so unfeeling. You can be so distracted. And how far cannot a child of God be from the Lord? And that shows how great her need is to be drawn back to the Lord. And so the petition needs to be prayed day in and day out. For you see, what does the bride need? The bride does not need the world. The bride does not need the pleasures of the world. If it's right to the bride, they have lost all their attractiveness. And she does not long for mere human companions, though the bride does have earthly companions like the daughters of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon. But the companions cannot satisfy her soul's deep yearning. Only one can satisfy that yearning, and that is Christ and His presence. And so is this your desire? Is this your petition? Does the Lord in heaven ever hear this prayer from your heart? Does He see that this is your earnest longing to be near to Him? And as we are looking at this prayer, then we can also ask the question, to whom is it that you address this prayer? And when you hear this question, if it is right, then you say, I address this prayer to the King, to the Bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. For He has become altogether lovely to me. He has become altogether my desire. The love, no, it may not always be so strong, but I do love Him. And when Christ comes to me, even if I am in the place of Simon Peter, after having denied the Lord, then I must say, I cannot deny that I love Thee. But do you pray this prayer simply because you love Him? Do you not pray this prayer for one other reason? Is it not that you pray this prayer to Him because He is the mover of your soul? He can move your soul to come after Him. After all, who is He? He is the sovereign Lord who has all power in heaven and on earth. He is the governor of His people. He has all power and He has all love, which when He exerts, it is irresistible, so that you cannot but come, and you cannot withstand His power. For you see, the Lord Jesus, He does not simply suggest. He does not simply teach. He does not only guide. He comes, takes the helm of your heart, and He draws you unto Himself. And so, dear sinners, whoever knows of this petition, and whoever may learn of this petition, do not be afraid to bring this petition to the Bridegroom. Do not close your mouth. and stop bringing this petition to the king, for he hears the needy when they cry. Do not keep your mouth shut, but open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth believing. Oh, I know, and many would say, it is strange to hear a bride say to a bridegroom, draw me. Which bride would say that on her wedding day to her bridegroom? Many would mock at this prayer. But you know that when the bridegroom hears this prayer from the soul of a sinner, draw me, you know what he says? Ah, that is the voice of my bride. Tell him then your need, and confess your immobility. He who has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Say then, draw me. We will run after thee. Let's look thirdly at the prospect. The prospect. And the prospect which the bride foresees here is that when the bridegroom draws, then she will run after him. We will run after thee. We. What the child of God sees when she says, we. She sees numerous sinners coming after the Lord Jesus. Now it's not singular anymore. Draw me, it was singular. Now it is plural. We will run after thee. And is that not what we may see also at the Lord's Supper? Each sinner who comes to the Lord's Supper needs to be personally drawn by Christ. But then all who are drawn by Christ come, as it were, flocking together. The child of God does not want to come alone to meet with the bridegroom. All of the children of God need to come. Oh yes, even the most weak child of God, even the most fearful child of God, they're included too. We will run after thee. Even the smallest babe in grace who has learned to breathe after the Lord, they are in view. None of the friends of Christ may stay behind. And what does the bride foresee when the bridegroom draws? Then she foresees not simply, we will be drawn after thee. No, not only we will come after thee. Not we will follow after thee. No, she says, we will run after thee. She foresees the bride running after him. No more delay, no more tarrying, no more sloth, no more loitering any longer, but to going after him, making haste by running. And you see, when there is a running, then there is a willingness. You know, sometimes young people may go into school and they may saunter into their classrooms. They go so slowly. Cannot go any slower than that student, perhaps, or that student. But here, the bride, when she comes, she is made willing to follow after the bridegroom. Before, it was a duty and a chore, perhaps, to follow him. Now it is a joy. She comes willingly. As it were, you can see her skip, and you can see her run, for you see her legs are light, and they carry her so that she can run after the Lord. Running speaks of willingness. It also speaks of strength. For when you run, then you need strength to run. You need energy to run. Well, that's what the Lord gives His people. Think of that man at the pool of Bethesda in John 5. There he was impotent, powerless. And even when the water stirred, which was his only remedy and his only hope, he was not able to get to the water. And he had lain on his bed for 38 years. And Jesus asks him, will thou be made whole? And then Jesus says to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he does so. He gets up and he walks. How is that possible? because the Lord gave him the strength which he never had before. And that is what the Lord Jesus did with many lame who were brought to him. The paralytic who was brought to him on a bed. And Isaiah 35 speaks about it, that he will make the lame to walk. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. And you receive strength to run. You see, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because they have received strength from Christ. But running speaks also more. It speaks of a swiftness, for there's a speed to running, isn't there, boys and girls? That is not there with walking. When you walk, take one step at a time, and one leg is still on the ground. With running, both legs off the ground, and there's an eagerness, and there's a swiftness to move. Oh, often with the child of God, there can be hesitation. There can be times of delay. There can be times when you think of the Lord, and you can think of the Lord, well, maybe later. But when the Lord draws, that he makes the people swift to run after him, then you cannot stay where you are. Then the devil cannot hold you back anymore. The world cannot restrain you anymore. But then you must run. We will run after thee. And then you see a bride running. Have you ever seen a bride running? And then what do you look at? And then you may look at the one running. And you can focus upon the bride who is running. Or you can focus on the steps that she takes in the running. But you need to ask the question, where is she running to? For a bride is running somewhere too. She is running to someone. And that is the most important question. Who is it that can move her heart like that? How can it be that the bride who was at one moment slothful, the next moment can move, and not only move, but is running? How can that be? Then you see our eyes are fixed upon him who makes the bride to run. You see the bridegroom who draws her. And you think of the shepherds there in the fields of Ephrata. And there they were, and they received the message that the Lord Jesus was born. And then what did they do? Then they went to Bethlehem. And it says, and they came with haste. They went running. They came with haste. Who was it that was drawing them? The babe in the manger. Do you know such running after Christ? Do you know such a swiftness of the soul that makes you run after him? How does the Lord do this? Well, the Lord, he makes use of cords, doesn't he? He makes use of means. For you see, it is impossible from man's side. And so the Lord, he uses means. And what are those means whereby he draws a sinner irresistibly to himself, so that you cannot but come? Well, one means is by his word. And do we not see that in this song too? And for instance, chapter 2, verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold. And verse 10 of chapter 2, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He speaks. He makes his voice to be heard. He comes with his offer of grace. He comes with his invitations. Come unto me. All the thirsty ones come. All the weary ones come. All the ones laden with sin come. I will give you rest. He comes with his word and draws. Sometimes he comes and he draws with his promises. I will uphold thee. I will carry thee even to hoar hairs. I am thy salvation. He draws by his word. Another means is by his spirit. For the Spirit, he's so influenced the sinner that he is made willing, so that he is made desirous, that he is made eager and swift to run after him. So the Spirit needs to enter into the heart and incline the soul and the mind and the heart and the strength after him, so that we begin to hasten. And so he loosens us, and he makes us leap as a hart after the Lord Jesus. He opens the eyes of the blind, as he did with a blind Bartimaeus. And what do we read? A blind Bartimaeus. And he followed Jesus in the way. And let me mention one other way whereby he draws, one other cord. He draws by his love. Tokens of love. Does he not do that in the Lord's Supper? With the tokens of love spread out before your eyes, what is the bridegroom doing? He's showing himself in his love. That he's willing to give himself, that he was willing to give his life even while we were yet sinners. Christ showed his love. And what does he do? With his love, he takes hold of a sinner. And he draws him to himself. Is that what the Lord says to his sinful people? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That is what the bride foresees. She foresees it. Will she experience it? Will the prayer of the bride be answered? Think of the bride. She is backward. She is dull. She is immobile. Is she not inclined to slide back more than to move forward? Will her prayer be answered? Yes. She is not looking to herself to accomplish this. She is looking to the bridegroom. She is looking to him. She has prayed to him. And how many prayers did the Lord Jesus, when he was on this earth, to how many prayers did he turn away? Any? Oh, maybe you say the Syrophoenician woman. Remember, as she was behind the Lord Jesus, did he not turn her away? And how many times did she not beg of him for help and mercy? He kept his mouth closed, right? Even after she had been asking. Yes, that's true. He kept his mouth closed. But while his mouth was closed, he was at work in her heart, drawing her to himself so that she would not let him go until he blessed her. Sometimes he may not answer, it seems, but he is at work in your heart. And he hears the needy, and he is able to draw. For think of his might and his power. He conquered death. Can he not draw you to himself? He is willing to draw. Does he not reveal that on the pages of Scripture? And what delights a bridegroom? What delights a bridegroom? Is it this, a lazy bride? Slothful bride, drowsily in bed. No, that does not delight a bridegroom. It does not delight the bridegroom to see the bride unwilling to open her heart. What delights the bridegroom is to see the bride running after him. It magnifies the bridegroom. It magnifies his power. It magnifies his grace. It magnifies his love. It magnifies his glory. And so the bride can pray and expect to be drawn. Are these your petitions? Are these your desires? Whom do you wish to run after? Is it Christ? There are those who do not desire Christ. That when you speak of Christ and the heavenly bridegroom, they care nothing for him. Is that you? Caring nothing for Christ? Oh, if you were to speak to them about sports, if you were to speak to them about stars, sports stars, if you were to speak to them about the World Cup, if you were to speak to them about the Stanley Cup, then they get excited. That stirs them. That makes them run. And so it can be with others. Speak to them of Christ, nothing. Speak to them of vacations. Yeah, that moves their heart. Speak to them of friends. Speak to them of hobbies. If that is your case, you have no desires after Christ. Oh, and what about others? You want fame. You want possessions. You want the trinkets in the world. Is that what you run after? Why is it that you run after all those things, but not Christ? It is because you have a marriage covenant with sin and the devil. Have you ever heard of bridegrooms who kill their brides? Let me tell you of the bridegroom, the devil. He has only one aim, is to kill the bride and drag her to hell. Do you not see that you need to get out of that marriage? And does all the things of the world, do they really satisfy? Do they bring you true joy? Do they bring you lasting joy? Do they bring you happiness? Oh, my dear unconverted friend, take a bill of divorcement and write it to the devil and break with all the idols of sin and tell the Lord you need to break with all these attachments, but that you cannot and that you need His help and power and grace. You need Him to overcome, and you need divine power to set you free. But seek a marriage with Christ, for Christ still today is seeking a bride. He is still drawing sinners to Himself, and there is no greater bride to belong to. There is no greater bridegroom to know, no greater love to experience, no greater joy than the joy with Christ. Maybe you sit here and you must say, I feel so distant from the Lord. And the words of the preacher, they seem so distant from me. They don't echo in my heart. I'm weary. I'm discouraged. I don't know it anymore. And you hear this most beautiful text, draw me and we will run after thee. But it seems it doesn't apply to you. It's impossible for you. And you feel like you are in the pit. And you cannot get out. How great is your need, my friend. But can you not tell that to the Lord? Can you not tell Him a short prayer? Draw me. Lord, I am so weak. I am so indifferent. I am so slothful. You see, I've been running after everything else but Christ. I've been chasing after sin in the world. And when the Lord hears that, He says, I have shown you what to do. And shall He not make haste? Shall He not come with cords and bind those cords around your heart and draw you after Himself? For you see, He is the mover of sinners. He is the bridegroom of His bride. There is no hope with anyone else. Dear sinner, don't think of it. There is only one possibility for you, and that is with this Christ, the mover, the king, the governor, and the bride who tells of her trouble. Does He not in heaven say, Ah, that is my bride. She is mine. And will He not seek her out? Will He not draw her to Himself? What do the following words in our text say? And He brought me into His chambers. Then we may marvel at the bridegroom. We may marvel at His love for sinners. His drawing love. His gracious love. The King hath brought me into his chambers. Then we will sing of his love. He is the dearest bridegroom. Draw me. We will run after thee. Amen.